In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, we should take care. There might be some hidden passion in us that keeps us from the kingdom of God. Or we may try to follow the commandments. We might fast, we might pray. We might do good works in many ways, in many things. But we might have a hidden passion. We might have something that we hold on to that is ungodly, that keeps us from the kingdom of heaven. This is the main story here today about the rich man. Well, yes, the topic involves money and commandments. But the take-home story is that there might be something wrong with you that you are not aware of. It is hard to be aware of our sins. We are blinded to them, many of them. The rich man was blinded to his great passion, which much of humanity shares with him. Definitely, it is a rare person who does not have some touch of avarice, some touch of clinging to money, some touch of using money for things that are not so useful and not for the people of God. All of us, I think, would shudder a little bit when we hear this rich man's passion, because all of us struggle also with giving all things to God, not just some things, but all things. But this rich man, this young man, a ruler, he was called in another gospel story, and in another one, it was said that Jesus looked upon him and loved him. He was a good man by the definitions of good for people. That is, nobody's good except God, the Lord tells us. But he had a hidden passion. He made two great mistakes when he spoke to the Lord. They showed two great, vast wells that he did of disinformation in his soul that kept him from being perfect. The first was when he went to the Lord and he says, "Good Master, what good thing should I do?" And the Lord rebukes him. "Why do you call me good? There is none good but God." Why did the Lord say this? Because the man looked upon Jesus as a good man. Jesus is not only a good man. Jesus is God, and therefore he is good. But he saw him as a man. Good, indeed. But only God is good. All goodness comes from God. So the young man did not see God as he is. If we do not see God as he is, how can we be saved? That's why the church has so zealously guarded the good name of God, the Holy Trinity, and all aspects of the understanding of the God-man Jesus Christ, Christology. That's why there were arguments made over fine points, and in one case, even one Greek letter. Because we must believe God as he is. If we don't believe in God as he is, then what are we believing in? Now, we can not only make dogmatic mistakes with God, not understanding his the Trinity in the proper way, and the God-man Jesus Christ in the proper way. But we can make mistakes in how we think of God. You know, the Psalms, the Proverbs talk about that the sinner thinks God is far away. Just because we don't see him doesn't mean he's far away. And which one of us finds it easier to sin when we are alone than when we are with someone? That shows that we do not have the proper view of God, who is always present and always sees and is always good. So this young man did not have the proper view of God. Dogmatically, he was certainly correct. He followed the commandments. He probably read the law and knew it well. But he did not know God well, because his passion kept him from it. So that is the first great mistake the young man showed us, that he did not look at God as who He is. And we should question ourselves, do we do this? I would have to say, knowing humanity as I do, since I am a human, knowing the weaknesses of the flesh, every one of us should resoundingly say, well, yes, I look at God in the wrong way. And just that example I showed a minute ago, where we can sin when we are alone, but the same thing we would not do in the presence of someone else because of shame or because we don't want them to think of us poorly or some other thing, shows us that we do not think of God in the right way. So we share this mistake of this young man. If we are honest with ourselves, we'll admit it. And by admitting it, we can start to fix it. Then the young man made another great mistake. So, the Lord says, keep the commandments. He says, which? And the Lord gives him the commandments. Some of the commandments. A subset of commandments. And then the young man says, well, all of these I have kept from my youth up. Well, one of those was about loving your neighbor. And the young man was rich. He must have seen poor people. Did he help these poor people? Perhaps to some extent, but he still kept his riches. Could he honestly say that he was concerned about God's creatures more than his money? Doesn't sound like he kept the commandments. And besides, just the first thing that he said to the Lord showed that he did not keep the commandment of loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, because he didn't even look at God correctly. He said to the God-man Jesus Christ that he was good like a man. So this man did not keep the commandments. And he thought he did. Not that he was arrogant. The fathers say that this was a man who truly wanted to be saved, who truly was earnest in his questions. He wasn't trying to trip up the Lord or anything by these questions. He wasn't trying to be clever. He was truly seeking help, seeking knowledge for salvation. But he had a great abyss of ignorance in his heart that he didn't know, that he did not follow the commandments. So, he didn't see himself honestly as he is. This is a common problem. Which one of us would dare to say that we know ourselves as we are? Which one of us would dare to say that we are aware of all of our sins, all of our failings, all of our passions? Of course not. And yet, in essence, this is what the young man was saying. And this is what, let's be honest, we say to ourselves, not verbally, but in the way we live. There's so much that we're unaware of. There's so much that passes under our, shall we say, radar. We don't see it. Because we are blind. And our blindness comes from not following the commandments. Intelligence comes from doing good. So the more good we do, the more we follow the commandments, the more intelligent we become about good and about evil. About the good that is in God and about evil that is in us. And we make a change from that evil to becoming perfectly good over the course of time. This young man had two very serious problems that we share with him. He didn't look at God in the right way. And he didn't look at himself in the right way. And really, all of Christianity, all of the exercises we do are so that we can look at God in the right way and ourselves in the right way. If you do not know what's broken, you would not try to fix it. There is a lot that is broken in us that we do not see, so we do not try to fix it. And also, we do not look at God in such a way that we have enough fear in our heart that we would desire to do the commandments at all times, whether they are difficult or not, whether we are alone or in a crowd. Now, this young man had a particular passion, though, that not everyone shares. Although, like I said, I'd say most of humanity struggles with the passion of dealing with money and dealing with God. But he loved his possessions. Oh, he followed the commandments as best he knew them, not knowing that he did not totally follow them. But he had a hidden passion. So the Lord tells him something. If you want to be perfect, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, sometimes this gospel makes people uncomfortable because they're thinking this is like, well, then I guess I shouldn't have a second car, or I shouldn't live in a house. I should live in a smaller house, or I should do this, or I should do that. It might be the case if you have this passion. But this is a commandment to the man because of his particular problem. Now, let's be careful now. It's not like we don't share in this problem to some extent. We might be able to say about some sins that we don't share in the problem. But let's be honest. This is about money. And sometimes money takes up much more of our efforts and our time and our priorities than it should. But this man particularly was enslaved by the passion of riches. And so the Lord gave him a very extreme measure. Sell everything. Give it away. This is like when the Lord says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better to go into the next life with one eye than into heaven with one eye than to hell with both. So that is the thought here. If riches totally overpower you, pluck them out. If you are consumed with becoming a certain position in your job, and you find yourself walking all over people to do it, and you find yourself lying and misrepresenting yourself and participating in the dirty politics and everything else, then it would be better for you if you were to quit and go and sweep the streets, because you're going to go to hell as you rise up the ladder, if that is your passion. If you're full of pride and always want to speak out about things, then it would be better for you to become mute, even if you have something good to say, if that is your passion. Whatever your passion is, extreme measures must be taken to become rid of it. If it is riches, then do what the young man did. If it is pride, if it is lust, if it is laziness, then do something extreme to be rid of your passion. Now, I must give a caveat here. We must be careful. Sometimes we can do extreme things that are really nothing but foolishness because of our pride. You have to test yourself. You know, you have to seek counsel. You know? When someone says to me, well, I want to fast on Mondays for the angels, I say, well, how are you fasting now? Do you fast from oil? Well, no, that's really hard. Okay, fast from oil first on Wednesdays and Fridays. Not just olive oil, but olive oil. Really do it strictly. And you find that usually I don't get them asking me if they can fast on Monday again. Because oftentimes we don't even follow the law as it stands, but we want to do more. So we have to be careful. We have to use wisdom and discretion. But definitely root out of your soul ruthlessly your passions. Because this is what the Lord is saying to the young man and to us. You know, St. John of Kronstadt was poor as a boy. Very poor. Sometimes so poor he didn't know where his next meal was coming from. And he became a priest in Kronstadt, attained a lot of notoriety. People gave him money all the time. He gave money to the poor all the time. But he struggled. If you look at his diary, he struggled with passions regarding wealth. He was poor. He knew what it was like to be hungry. And there was a piece of him that when he was offering hospitality to others, would chafe when they took the last of the bread in the house. So he struggled against this passion. This should not make us think poorly of him. We should honor him even more so, because he was ruthless in rooting out any passion of avarice in him. And there are many stories of him receiving large amounts of money and giving it away, and people being offended that he gave so much money. And he would let his left hand not know what his right hand was doing. But he was still struggling against this passion. We have many passions. We should struggle against them as St. John did. We should struggle against them as the Lord is telling the young man to struggle. Ruthlessly, with decisiveness. If you're not decisive, you can't be saved. So this story of this young man is not about giving away all of your wealth. For some, it might be. But that is not the main story. The main story is that we don't look at God in the right way. We don't know ourselves correctly. We have hidden passions, and they might devour us if we don't do something about it. And we might be unaware of what they are doing. Like a cancer that grows within us, and we're not aware of it. Until, finally, it has grown to such an extent that we are near death. That is what our passions are like, brothers and sisters. And yes, you should consider yourself every day to be in a crisis. Every day is not like just every other one. It's not just Monday and then Tuesday and then Wednesday. Every day is a battle. A battle to become good. A battle to uproot your passions. It's true. I think it's scary to people. That's why it isn't talked about enough. That's why in what passes for Christianity in the world, sin doesn't get talked about anymore. Because it's a scary subject. It's the kind of subject that when you say something and everybody's uncomfortable, because they don't want to talk about the kind of people they are. They want people to think they're better than they are. But we Orthodox Christians, we have to have courage. We have to take the Lord at His word, at His brutal and honest word. We must root out of our souls passions and give ourselves no quarter. Do it with counsel. Do it with help, with confession, with seeking wisdom from others. Don't do it on your own. But do it ruthlessly. Because there are things inside you that want to kill you. And they're not resting. So we can't rest either. We must be as the young man should have been, as the Lord taught him. We must look at God in the right way. We must seek out to know ourselves in the right way. And we must seek out and destroy our passions. Now, it's a tall order. It's difficult. It's frightening. It's not pleasant at all. But as we become good, as we change in our nature, then there is great joy. Because there is no greater joy than to have peace in your heart. And peace is only possible when we are like the one who gives peace, when we are good. So let's battle as the Lord taught us to battle. Amen.